there used to be a good number of Christians in Basra, maybe 2,000, something like that in the past. I'm talking about Christian minorities. But this, you know, started migrating with the Iraq-Iranian war in the by the end of the 70s, in the 80s. Many of them went to Baghdad, to Mosul. Some who originally came from the Nineveh Plain, you know, because that was their original residence, and they came to Basra and settled here because there are many job opportunities, you know, Basra, because there was work in port, there was work in railway.
What about you? You are a Christian here in Basra. Can you tell about yourself?
I'm Juliana. I live in Basra. I was really born in Basra, but originally, you know, we come as Syrians. We were drifted from, you know, my family originally came from Turkey, you know, the Assyrian villages in Turkey, and because of the Armenian genocide, they had to leave. They were afraid, and they came through Turkey to Iran, and then to many cities in Iraq, then they settled in Basra. So originally, in the 70s, I'm talking in the 60s, 70s, there used to be about 2,000, according to my information, Christian minorities in Basra of all sects. And the reason why many Basra, there were many Christians, because there were so many job opportunities in railway, in port, and also in oil field. So Basra is always, and still now, you know, it attracts people because there are still some job opportunities.
Is it true that there also were Christians in alcohol production here when it was allowed?
Yeah, because the Iraqi law at that time, you know, you cannot start or you cannot own an alcohol shop unless it's licensed by a Christian person, because, you know, Muslims are not allowed to sell alcohol. So if you have you want to open a shop and for selling alcohol, it has to be named by a Christian person.
So that was happening in the facts.
Yeah. But you know, after 2003, with all chaos going on, many were threatened and they closed down their shops, and few remained, and you know, they sold the alcohol, just call it underground or something. And last 2 years back, I think one was killed because of this. He sold alcohol when it was, you know, Muharram time. But anyhow, you know, not many people were selling alcohol. Mainly now Muslims are selling, but again, it's underground, you know. They have their own way of selling, and they are backed by some people in the government or authority, or some, you know, people have some kind of authority in the in the city.
You are an English professor now. How did you grow up as a child, as a Christian child in Basra? What is Christian childhood in Basra?
Yeah, it was Basra was not like this. I'm talking in the 60s of I was a kid, but in the 70s it was a port, you know, very beautiful city with it was an open society, very tolerant. You know, we had many foreigners coming, sailors coming into the town. It was a growing city, really, in Basra. We had so many, you know, consulate, foreign representatives, and education was good, free for everybody, and, you know, business was growing.
How many churches?
There used to be about 10 or 12 churches, because we have all sects in Basra. We have the Assyrian, we have Armenian, we have the Orthodox, we have the Catholic, more than two churches for Catholics. We had Anglican, and we had also at some time the Adventist. That was the late church coming to Basra. So you can see, I mean, the community, the Christian community, is not only because they are Christian, but they are also ethnically different. Armenians, Assyrians, Chaldeans, you know. So that was the case. Exactly like the all types of, you know, all sects of Muslims, Sunni and Shi. It was not a closed area like some parts of Iraq where you have just Sunnis or you have Shi'i. It was, you know, with all Christian sects living together here.
Yeah. And what do you remember from your childhood? What was typical, what a Christian would do from Basra, what not a Muslim?
Yeah, we had our social clubs, yeah. Of course, going to church was not a problem at any time. Up to now, it's not a problem. But we had social clubs, you know. social clubs which we in which we celebrate, you know, Christmas party or New Year party. We had really a weekly party every Thursday, besides, you know, the monthly party and, you know, lots of dancing and, of course, drinks. And it was not a problem to go to a party with music, having music and dancing. But, you know, after 2003, it was very difficult to keep these social clubs. They were all closed, you know.
Because of the war, simply, or because also the people found more and more that U.S. Yeah, and foreigners were invaders, or why?
Yeah, it was because the society was becoming more and more conservative, you know, with the Iranian revolution in 70s, with, you know, exporting Islamic ideas. So because the Shia are the majority of Basra, so, you know, these were affected by the exporting of the Islamic idea from Iran. So many women, you know, they took the hijab and, you know, they started wearing long dress and, you know, not mixing with male people and things like that. And also the number began to decrease, the number of the Christian community. Now we have almost 400 families, or maybe not families, 400 people only, all Christians in Basra. So you can see the difference. So whenever you're small, even you don't have people to go to we cannot make a party. Where to make a party? It's very difficult, you know. And it depends on also, you know, the Christmas sometimes coincides with Muharram. And if it's with Muharram, then you cannot have celebrations at all.
Can you explain Muharram?
Muharram would be the mourning season for Shia. So they, you know, they keep this month, and they, you know, they make pilgrimage to Najaf, and everything should be, you know, closed, so that it's not time for happiness, as they say. So if this coincides with the Christmas, then our Christmas is just going to church. We even not make a party, Father Christmas party for children, not to give this indication that we are happy, you know, Santa Claus party for children, because it's Muharram, you know, not, maybe they don't like it. So it's when you live in a society where it's closed, you know, you have also to keep your rituals, you have to keep your, you know, these gatherings, and, you know, to the minimum. But when it does not coincide with Muharram, like now, you know, people are, you know, they are more freer to celebrate, to have celebrations. But still, we don't have clubs. We cannot. If we go to clubs, we have, you know, we want to enjoy drinking. We like to enjoy dancing. But, you know, it's the society does not accept. They don't like to lack it in that way. So it's.
What rituals?
It's not easy, you know. Yeah.
What rituals do you keep?
What
Christian rituals do you personally keep?
Going to church, that's all. Going to church, that's
every
all. Every Sunday. My church is every Friday, because Friday is a holiday, the weekend. So we normally go on Fridays, not on Sundays. But some other churches, like Chaldean or Syriac Orthodox, they have it. They keep it on Sunday evening late at 6 or 5. Christians are marked in the city. They are marked as people, you know. People know them because, for example, the ladies are unscarfed, and the habits are different. And, you know, I mean, they know them by the look, or by the life, how they behave, or sometimes by the name. The name is different, you know. It's a foreign name or difficult name for them. And people know us also because we are left only very few people. I mean, when I go shopping in Ashar, in the market, they know me because I'm not scarfed, and I look not a typical Muslim, you know, because usually old ladies have to wear hijab and things like that. So it's not our influence, our impact now is not that used to be in the past. In the past, we had good population of Christians. We had many students studying at university. Many of Christians were doctors. They were very brilliant in their studies. Many of them were doctors. You know, they got high degrees in academic level. So they were more powerful and more influential in the society. But now as a minority, we are not that influential.
Do you get aggression sometimes from non-Christians?
Aggression is a kind of verbal abuse. Maybe they don't like the way I dressed up. They comment or... personally, I don't feel to wear this wherever I go. I have to, you know, to be more conscious about my dressing, and this is, you know, what disturbs really the Christians here in Basra, because you have to follow the norm, and the norm is not the norm that we used to follow in the past, and nothing obliges us to follow it, except that we were born here and we didn't have chance to go out, or we have some, you know, roots in the area. Yep.
A friend of mine in Kabul is the last Jew of Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine being the last Christian in Basra?
Maybe the last Asir in Basra, maybe. That would be nice, really. They would put me in the museum. yeah, because you can number us, you know. I'm talking about Assyrians. Now, even Armenians are more than. We are, you know, the original natives of Iraq, but in Basra, though it's not the origin city, but, you know, I was born in Basra, so I find myself a typical Basrawi. But it's pity that, you know, things have changed during this decade because of this wars, and, you know, starting from Iranian, then with the first Gulf, and then with the second Gulf. I witnessed three wars, really. The Iranian, the Gulf, the first Gulf War, and the second Gulf War.
What was typical for, I mean, how far did it change for the Christians in these three
wars? The wars were sending each time people, the good people of Basra, outside, and changing all the demographic and nature change. You know, there was so much pollution starting with the Iraq-Iranian war. I mean, my batch of students, they were all captives, or they died in the war, in the front, Iranian. I lost my nephew in FAO, in Iraq-Iranian war. It's the best of our, really, best of our people. With degree holders, you know, they were killed in the Iraqi-Iranian war. Then came, you know, the decade of blockade. It was very terrible with in Iraq for us, especially at, you know, like me, because I was teaching at university and my salary was just $20. Just imagine, I could keep a home with $20. It was very difficult. Then 2003, you know, with the Gulf War, and we were anticipating that things would improve and maybe Basra would become something like Dubai, but, you know, with all this corruption and chaos which followed, and again with recruiting more people, more young people to go to fight Daesh, and this is also had all impact on the city. And
was Daesh here?
Daesh was not here, but if they could reach, they would have done miserable things also, but they could not. But they had some attacks, some bombing, you know, in Basra. Few ones, yeah, very few ones.
On Christians?
No, on the city as a whole. No, not Christians.
I was in northern Iraq, Ain Kawa, Erbil. There is international support also financially for the Nineveh Christians.
Yeah, playing.
Is there any international support reaching you here, Christian?
No. It's only for the Nineveh plain, because that's the homeland, let's say, of Christians. But in Basra, we didn't get any kind of support. Usually, sometimes there have been some kind of support for workshops and, you know, for minorities' rights and things to do with this. But as a financial support for people, because no, we didn't lose homes like Nineveh Plain, you know. There they lost homes and, you know, they lost their...
But feels unfair nevertheless, or...?
I don't know what about, of course, when you are losing, if they help you, they're not going to give you back what you have lost, of course. Definitely they lost more than they were given and compensated, yeah.
I read now that there is some new project about mixed schools, Christian and Muslim mixed schools. I read in the Al Monitor News.
It has always been like that. our colleges, our state, let's say, talk about state schools, always have been like that. They are, you know, mixed. I went to a government school, but there were also some private schools. For example, the nuns had private school, Armenians had a private school, and, you know, some Muslims also would like to go to these schools because it was the change of economy towards privatization. So many schools are opening private schools, private colleges, and private preschools, and most of these are owned by the Christian, by the church itself. The church opens a preschool, and many Muslims go to. Mostly 90% of their students, are pupils, are Muslims, because there are many, the majority. Christians are very few.
And what is better there?
What is better there? They think that they give better education. They learn. They teach them discipline. They take more care of them, and they teach them foreign languages, maybe. So that, I think, this is what attracts Muslims to go to. They're happy about it, you know. They like it more, sending them to such schools. Yeah, and some of them have been, you know, as children, they have been to Christian preschools. That's why they want to take their children again to. These Christian preschools.
In this hotel we're in, it's very funny. I'm told now that Basra is quite Shia influenced, quite conservative.
Yeah.
At the same time, there is big Christian fashion. Yeah, Merry Christmas,
yeah,
Christmas trees.
Yeah, yeah.
When did that start, and what does it mean for you?
You see, this was the case before 90s, before the blockade, where people could not afford to buy a Christmas tree and all the decoration. To be frank with you. But as I told you, New Year, it's not Christmas. Muslims celebrate New Year, but they use the word Christmas to mean a New Year. So for them, Christmas is a New Year. They celebrate it because it's the end, you are starting a New Year.
But they would celebrate it on 24th, 25th? Like
No. They celebrate it on the 1st of January. So the let's call it New Year Eve. Because in the past, everybody, you know, even Muslims' family, they went to clubs, you know, social clubs, and, you know, they had parties, and they celebrated it. So they pick this habit of the New Year, but they use the word Christmas to mean New Year. They don't know that Christmas is the 25th.
But why is that? Why
It's because of the influence of the Western, television, and because they see people around celebrating it, and so it has become something like international. It's an international festival.
But they basically like the symbols, trees and glittering.
Yeah, trees, yeah. Especially this year, many people, even by the beginning of December, very ordinary people, simple people, would go and buy trees, small trees, for the celebration.
But it doesn't help to understand or get closer?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it helps, of course, yes.
In how far?
Because at least you can feel these people are sympathetic with you, and they are celebrating with you, and it would be a good chance to wish them a new year, you know. But they think that Christmas is New Year. But as I told you, as long as the Christmas does not coincide with Muharram, it's okay. But if it coincides with Muharram, you wouldn't have seen this tree or anything or any of these decorations, or because, you know, it's a mourning month, and the women wear black, and they go on pilgrimage, and there are no signs of celebrations. We cannot also invite people to come to us. Last year and the one before it, Christmas did not coincide with Muharram, so they've really making all this celebration and putting trees. And
you're going home now before it gets dark. Is that also for security as a Christian?
Yes. In myself, I don't feel safe to go alone, you know, at night when it gets dark. I don't feel happy about it, you know. Because I always compare what was in the past and what is now. I don't allow my daughters to go outside when it's dark. They don't go. They normally took it as a habit of life. they don't go alone. And even if we go alone, for example, to a public space, place, for example, Ashar for shopping, then we have to wear certain types of clothes. So it's, you know, it's not like the other countries like Lebanon or Syria or Jordan or Egypt. You know, it's not like Baghdad even, or Erbil, as you said. Because as I told you, it was influenced by Iran since by the end of 70s. So you could see how it went through the influence of, the city with all the impact of this religious strictness, and till we ended with with certain norms on every aspect of life.